Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and it is so good to be with you on this Transfiguration Sunday when we are celebrating the beautiful moment that Jesus revealed his divinity to two of his disciples, just as he reveals it to us. I will say that you'll have an extra homily and service this week. I will post what I am doing for Ash Wednesday, and I'm so excited about that. It is the start of Lent, and as I say at Advent or right before Advent, and I think we do it very well at Easter in the United Methodist Church, is that we are not afraid to sit with the hard things before we celebrate the beautiful things, because both are necessary and both are true. And so as we prepare our hearts for this Lenten season, I hope you will enjoy the extra service on Wednesday to kick off your Ash Wednesday, and as we move through the time of Lent toward Easter. I will say that today, Maggie is very spry. I don't know what has gotten into her. So I'm not sure what you're going to hear as I try to do this service and get it recorded. But you know what? All God's creatures, especially the four-legged ones, are loved and cared for and wanted. And so we are thrilled that she is with us. I am more thrilled than honey. But I appreciate your patience and your understanding as we navigate this new world that we have together. So let us now come together in a time of prayer and praise. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's epistle lesson comes from the second letter of Simon Peter. We are in the first chapter, verses 16 through 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as the lamp shining in the dark place, until the day draws and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The Word of God, for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now and remind ourselves of the things of our faith that we believe. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I apologize. I think I messed that up, but it's very distracting here. So I appreciate your grace. Let us pray together. Father God, we are just so thankful for all the beautiful moments in life, the moments of distraction, the moments of love, the moments of care, the moments of unbelief in our believing. Be with us now as we come together to worship you and to hear the good news that you have proclaimed through your Son. Hear us now as we pray those words that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson comes from the 17th chapter of Matthew. We are going to hear verses 1 through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as I receive this message, this unbelievable message of hope and joy and love, make it believable to all of us and to all of those who hear it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of my year is planned around sports. I have a competitive streak, and sports is how I love to scratch that itch. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't play sports. The closest I ever got was my championship flag football team that I was on in college. We were really good. We were scouted by other teams, and it was the pinnacle of my athletic career. This year is an Olympic year, and I could not be happier. I do not do snow and ice, but I become a winter sports expert every 4 years. I think one of the things I love the most is the superhuman feats of athleticism and sports that these people complete during the games. Like the American ice skater, Ilya Malinin, who completes up to 7 quad jumps in his artistic program, and then at the end has the energy to do a backflip and land on 1 foot. I'm not sure I could jump up and down on 1 foot 7 times. But I think the most amazing sport of all is luge. These men and women lay on a sled and hurl themselves down a track at up to 90 miles an hour with nothing but a helmet to protect them. Summer Britcher is one of our USA team members. She competed in the last Winter Olympics in China. She hurled herself down the track and crashed in one of those turns, breaking her back and neck. She got up and walked off and then had to endure surgeries and months of recovery and rehab. And when she was healed, she got back on her sled and is now, once again, hurling herself down the track at 90 miles an hour. There is no way that any of us regular humans would have the courage, the gumption, the talent, and the skill to do that. It is totally unbelievable what these athletes are accomplishing. If I did not watch it with my own eyes, I'm not sure I would believe it. But it is real. They're all doing these amazing things right before our eyes. As I watched this week, I couldn't help but think of the unbelievable things that the disciples saw up on that mountain. Peter, James, and John got to witness these amazing feats of divinity. The first is Jesus's transfiguration. He goes from his regular old human form to shining like the sun. Pretty unbelievable thing to witness for these disciples. If there was even a hint of a whiff of a doubt that Jesus was who he said he was, then all of that would have gone away in that moment. I cannot even imagine the joy and awe and even a little terror that the transfiguration made them feel. But Jesus was not done amazing them with his divine spirit. Not only is he transfigured before them, he brings a crowd of witnesses back to further show them how powerful God is. Talking to Jesus are Moses and Elijah. These two humans that were respected and recognized people in the ancient text. I imagine it was like that moment in Field of Dreams when Shoeless Joe Jackson and his teammates mysteriously appear out of that cornfield. And the most believable part of the whole scripture is that these brothers were completely confused as to who they were. Sure that if you ask them what they thought was going to happen that day when Jesus told them they were going to the top of the mountain with him, talking to two dead prophets was nowhere on their amazing and strange bingo card. They were so confused that they offered to put up tents for them to use. Tents for ghosts. You can't blame them. All of it was totally unbelievable. But it doesn't stop there. While they're trying to sort through what exactly was happening right in front of their eyes, the voice of God speaks. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome by fear. I bet they were. At this point, I think I would have passed out. This whole experience had to be overwhelming and unbelievable. And while the voice of God shocked and amazed and overwhelmed them, the gentle touch and the voice of Jesus brought them back to reality. I'm sure they looked at each other and said, "What was that?" I'm sure that for weeks they just found themselves standing there, thinking back and totally overwhelmed by the unbelievable thing that they witnessed. Except it was real. It was very real. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian God, had shown these three mere mortals what exactly it meant to be divine. I think the text from 2 Peter, where he recounts these events, helps us understand not just that moment, but the unbelievable life that Jesus led. A life full of miraculous events, of moments that the voice of God was audible, that love and justice were personified right before them. He says in part, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty." First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy will ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Peter is basically saying, all of these things that we have told you have to be from God. They have to be real. We couldn't make up this wild stuff if we tried. There's not much I can think of in my own life that even comes close to the feeling and the overwhelming moment that Peter, James, and John got to witness. It's all just too unbelievable. It had to be an amazing feeling, humbling to witness, a magnified moment like the one I had when I was commissioned by the South Georgia Conference. I was overwhelmed by the magnitude of the moment, overcome by the almost tactile feeling of love and support in the room. I was nervous and excited and overwhelmed all at once. The transfiguration had to be exponentially more awe-inspiring than the absolutely unbelievable feats of athletics in the Olympics. Those that fly through the air, down the track, and around an oval of ice. Ones where the luge women travel a mile course in less than 50 seconds. For me, the lesson this week has been that just because I can't do it doesn't mean that someone else can't. Just because we cannot fathom the complexity and the full beauty of creation doesn't mean it is not real. Just because I cannot perform the most complex of surgeries doesn't mean that they cannot be done. Just because I do not have the talent to play beautiful music doesn't mean that others cannot make the music that moves us. Just because I don't have the athletic ability or bravery to compete in any sporting competition, much less the Olympics, does not mean that others are not given that ability. And just because none of us have the divine nature of Jesus, it doesn't mean that these miracles did not happen. Believing the unbelievable is what our faith is about. Believing that these things, these moments of divine grace and love are absolutely real is the most beautiful part of the thing that we hold dear. It is unbelievable that God loves us and gives us grace despite our shortcomings. It is unbelievable that God sacrificed part of himself for each and every one of us. It is unbelievable that miracles that he performed in his time on earth. It is unbelievable that we get to continue to witness God's power and might and love. All of those unbelievable things are very real. Even if this scripture reads more like a movie script combination of Ghost and Field of Dreams, all narrated by James Earl Jones and Morgan Freeman, our faith tells us that it's real. I know it's real. Because of the amazing and unbelievable things that God is doing right here among us. God found a way to bring us all together, to show us love in a way that we then get to go out and show others. We, in our own way, have become transfigured into a new and different thing. We are communing with the saints of the church that have come before us. We are hearing the voice of God in all kinds of new and different ways. And as I look out each week at your beautiful faces, you are all glowing with joy and love for God and for each other. Jesus didn't want Peter, James, and John to go out and tell everyone what they saw. But we can go share the good news that Jesus showed them. He is divine. He is part of the Trinity. And he does save us if we dare to believe the unbelievable. Amen. As you go throughout this week, look for the things that are unbelievably believable. Those miracles that happen every day right before our eyes, miracles of love and light and joy and excitement, miracles of healing. They're all around us. You just have to look. Because in life and death and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.